We are very pleased to welcome back to the show the head coach of the Browns, Pat Shurmur. Coach, how you doing?
Good, Vic. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I know you're getting ready to head over to Indianapolis for the Combine, and want to start first, though, with the biggest of some offseason moves you made, some changes to the coaching staff, hiring your longtime colleague Brad Childress, worked together with him in Philadelphia to be the offensive coordinator here. First and foremost, what do you think he brings to this team?
Well, I think if you ask Brad, you know, he wants to come here and help us win games. And, you know, I think very frequently you see where guys will hire guys that they've worked with before. And it happens a lot in our business because I've had a long friendship with Brad. We learned how to coach in the NFL together. We learned how we want to teach the quarterback together. And so I've got a long relationship with Brad, and he's very accomplished. And so I know how he's going to react when things get stressful. I know how we're going to interact on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, he'll be responsible for putting the offense together. And, again, I don't think it'll look much different because we teach the same things.
I was going to say, you have that same vision. It's something you learned and developed together in Philadelphia for the time you spent there. But bringing him aboard after he spent some time with a different team, Minnesota, in a different capacity as a head coach,
sure,
and then spent some time away from the game this past year where you can always freshen your ideas and see different things. Do you think from that standpoint it could be any different in terms of some of the things, or have the discussions you had maybe sounded a little different than the stuff you talked about together when you worked together in Philly?
No, I think you always try to utilize the talent that you have available. And they had a terrific running back, of course, Adrian Peterson at the Vikings, and an outstanding defense, and got to the point where he was a play from going to the Super Bowl. And so he was very accomplished there in Minnesota. And so I think we're going to add some of his experience there to some of mine, which was a little bit different in St. Louis, and put it all together. And I think you'll see something similar. What I think you'll see, and it may have nothing to do with plays as we move forward, is we're going to have a group of players that are 1 year better at doing what they do. And I think that's the piece that's important. But to have another guy in the building that I'm on the same page with, I think is important, along with Nolan Cromwell, who'll be our senior assistant. I was with him in St. Louis. He coached the receivers, and so, you know, he'll help us coach. And then as well as Timmy Houck, who I hired to coach the secondary. So, you know, I feel good about all of that. But I think the fact that I worked with Brad and Nolan and have been around Tim as a player, you know, when you bring in guys you're familiar with, it helps.
And the other thing, and I think a lot is made of this, but I think there's a point lost in this. You worked together with Brad Childress in mm-hmm. Philly, and mm-hmm. you guys were sharing an office. You guys were exchanging ideas. You hear so many folks want to address the idea of, well, is it awkward because he was an OC in Philly, you were a position coach, he's been a head coach before in Minnesota, you're just finished your first year as a head coach, and then the roles are reversed where he's an offensive coordinator working with you as a head coach. But the fact is the relationship you have doesn't lend itself to that awkwardness because you work together.
No, there's no question. I don't feel awkward about it. I've got other guys on this staff that have been head coaches before.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you'd like to surround yourself, and I think the Cleveland Browns deserve that I'll hire the best staff that I can to help inspire and get the players ready to go. And so that's what we're looking to do. I'm not intimidated by that at all. Brad, most people don't understand the relationship behind the scenes. There's obviously people put in positions of authority, but we work long and hard, and we tend to work together. And we're all trying to do the same thing and get the players ready to play and then go out and put together a winning performance.
You're going to call the plays from field level. Brad's going to be up in the press box. Explain, I know you haven't been through that specific drill yet, but explain as you envision it how the mechanics will work on game day with that arrangement.
Well, I think it's typical of what you have. Most guys, the head coaches, they call the plays. You know, you have a coordinator upstairs, and the reason we wear the headsets is so that we can communicate. And I made this statement that a lot is always talked about halftime adjustments when in reality adjustments are being made throughout the game. And so to be able to talk, you know, there's times in the game where I'm, hey, listen, I'm thinking about calling this. What do you guys think? Or this or this. And so there's some interaction. And I think that's natural, and I look forward to that. And I think that's a key piece to this because during the week you put the plan together. When I'm not able to be in the room, obviously Brad is responsible for making sure the plan gets put together. We practice the plays in the proper way and really responsible for the offense. And then you just go out and do it.
Browns coach Pat Shurmur joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And you bring up a key point. Having someone with Brad's knowledge and the role of offensive coordinator to, as you put it, say, run the room or run the meeting when you're not there. As a sure. head coach, there's a lot of instances where you can't just be in one segment of the football team for an extended period.
No, there's no question. There's specific roles that you've got to do. And last year I did, you know, if I look a little tired still.
You look a little more refreshed. I wanted to tell you that.
No, but I think – some sleep. I think I feel really good about the way things are structured as we move forward. I think, you know, even though we didn't score enough points last year to help us win enough games, that's the key. And I think we set a foundation about how we want to practice, basically the scheme, and then we'll tweak things here or there based on the players that are out there. And so the foundation, in my opinion, has been laid. Now we got to get to the process of using this off season to make the second time we go through it much more efficient than the first time. And I think no matter what you do, if you know, most of the time if you do things over and over, the second time you do it is better than the first.
And it's an exchange. When you meet together, first you and Brad, but you with your offensive staff, putting together a game plan, it reaches a point where everybody is on the same page of what the plan is going to be for Sunday. So ultimately, even though you're the one calling those plays, the plan itself and the structure of your play calling is common knowledge with you,
right.
You, Brad. You're not going in there saying, okay, now I'm going to come up with something entirely different than we talked about this week.
No question. And that's why you obviously, through training camp, you practice the scheme and the plays and doing all the things that you want to do. And then, for example, you know, every game you put together a set of 5 to 6 plays that when it's 3rd and 7 to 10 that you're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what you do during the week. And then at game time, you know, you decide in what order you call them depending on, you know, the situation. And so that's what we write on all those cards we hold.
Nolan Cromwell comes in here with an extensive background as a former player, a coach, and he comes into that senior advisor capacity. What is that role like, and how much do you draw and pull from that as a head coach?
Well, that I think that's an important role, and it's a little bit I don't want to label it as something other than what it is, but he'll help us coach. He'll coach. He's obviously got extensive experience working with receivers. And, you know, another resource for me and a guy that's coached in this offense a long time and that I've worked with in the past. So I think that's what he'll be. I think he's an outstanding teacher. And, again, I had a chance to work with him a year in St. Louis. He's one of the most quality people you ever meet. He comes in with instant credibility as a player. I think he was Mr. Kansas coming out of college, and then obviously what he did as a L.A. Ram,
yeah,
as a player. But anyways, he's and I wanted to get Nolan involved here. I tried last year, and he was obviously under contract with St. Louis, so that it didn't work. But I'm glad he's here.
And we mentioned Tim Houck, of course, as the new secondary coach, replacing Jerome Henderson, who did an outstanding job with that and has now moved on to the Dallas Cowboys. But what does Tim bring to the table?
Well, Tim, I caught Tim at the end of his career or near the end of his career in Philadelphia as a player. And we talked, and he had expressed to me that he wanted to get into coaching someday, and I thought it'd be perfect fit because he was very cerebral as a player, very tough. He was what you want from a safety. You could get everybody lined up and make the right checks. And so it made sense to me that, number one, he wanted to be a coach. And it was all very obvious to me they'd be very good at it. And so I've followed his career. He's been obviously at the pro level, the college level, and he was available. And so jumped on it and hired him.
Yeah, that playing experience that he brings, Mike Holmgren referred to him as really a consummate overachiever when he was around him as a player. So those guys usually make good coaches.
I think so. There's no set model for a coach, but typically guys that had to really work hard and prepare as players understand the demands of a coach. And so it's a natural transition for those guys to then think of it as a good profession.
Okay. Well, we're just getting started. We've got another segment, if you could be so kind as to stick around for that, and much more to talk about. He is Coach Pat Shurmur joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Stay tuned for a continuation of our conversation. And we're brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. We're back with Pat Shurmur, the Browns coach here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Pat, catching up with some of the things in the offseason, I know you keep in touch regularly with players. Let's start with Colt McCoy, the conversations that you periodically have with him by phone or whatever. But, A, how's he been feeling? Mike Holmgren said he was doing well from that concussion that he had suffered. And B, just your general thoughts on his mindset in the offseason.
Well, I think he's looking forward to getting back to work. And not that he's not working now. He's obviously working out, staying in shape. But when the players get away, after a certain amount of time, when we feel like we have some unfinished business and we've got a team that needs to improve, he is anxious to get back here for the official part of the off-season program, which starts in April 16th. And so that's what he's anxious to get back to work. And I sense in him the anticipation that he's going to get a lot better and that he's looking forward to the workload here in the off season. And I think that's an important time for a team that's going from its first year to its second. And so I sense that anticipation in his voice. He sounds great. And, again, we've communicated. I try to communicate, with most of the players regularly. And he's one of those guys that's looking forward to coming back.
There's so much talk about this team's possible pursuit of a new quarterback, whether it's in the draft or free agency or both. So from that standpoint, Colt can likely anticipate some competition come this summer. But how do you expect Colt to handle not only that, but just his own progression as a quarterback? What are you expecting to see of him when you get to training camp or you get through off-season workouts, actually?
Well, what I expect from him, of course, is he knows that he's got to improve on what he did a year ago. And he's one of those guys that'll do everything he can to get better. So I'm anticipating that. And really, players at all positions are wondering who's going to be there to compete with them. My son's a freshman at St. Ed's, and I'm sure he's watching to see which eighth graders are going to come in behind him, and he's trying to size up the competition in front of him. And so I think that happens at all positions. And so, at this point, everybody's trying to predict what we're going to do and throwing out lots of names and lots of information. And at this point, I think they're merely predictions. And so most competitive guys, though, are just getting themselves ready to go so that when they come back, they can compete at a high level.
Have you gone over some specifics, though, that Colt can do to make himself better? What are the areas that you think have to be concentrated on?
Well, I think from the quarterback standpoint, we've highlighted, of course. We've had a chance to go through all the tape. Some areas that he can get better, where he'll make himself a more efficient quarterback from, the fundamentals, the footwork, to the decision-making and the progressions of the routes and all things that can improve when you do it over and over and over. And the over and over and over part obviously starts here in the off season.
People ask quite a bit on our show about the future of Peyton Hillis with the Browns. And again, I know that's not your specific area with regard to dealing with a contract, but it is something in which you have interest and you do have that personal contact with Peyton Hillis as well. What's your general thought there about his future?
Well, I've obviously had an opportunity to communicate with him as well. He's local here, and conversations have been good. And when he was in the games last year, he produced. And so, You know, we're obviously entrenched in the business of sport right now as we try to get the roster set for 2012. And so, you know, I think that'll play itself out, and we'll just have to see and as we move forward what happens there.
Health-wise, guys like Ben Watson, who finished the year with a concussion, Eric Steinbach, who of course missed the whole season injured. What are some of the updates you could provide on those guys?
Yeah, I think they're progressing through the off season, and they're getting better, getting themselves ready to go. So, you know, beyond that, there's really not much to say.
Yeah, until we're still early.
We're so early in the process right now. I think it's they're just like everybody else, trying to get themselves in the best possible position they can get themselves in physically and mentally for the start of the offseason.
How excited are you for the chance to go to Indianapolis and see these quarterbacks in whatever form you see them? And I know it's always a debate or a question as to whether they're going to throw or not, what they're going to do in these workouts or not do, but you are going to get to see them. And I'm talking specifically of Robert Griffin and Andrew Luck and so forth. Is it something, especially as a man who that's your specialty, that's your area, is it something that just you look forward to with great anticipation?
Yeah, I'm anxious to get to Indianapolis, and a lot of these players that everybody's talking so much about I haven't met yet. And so this is the time when the scouts who have done so much work to this point evaluating the players, this is where the coaches start to get involved, where we get to, you know, for most of our coaches, we've watched the tape on all the guys that are competing at the combine. Now we get a chance to go down there and meet them and add that piece, see them, evaluate them, talk to them, see how they react mentally, see how they do in the classroom, those types of things. And so it's exciting. And then, of course, it's always fun to see a ball in the air and to see quarterbacks out there throwing, to be able to evaluate who throws the ball well and who doesn't. Does it help or hurt a guy? I don't know. But it adds more information to the decision-making process for us when we see a guy compete amongst the other quarterbacks.
Have you already formed some opinions, though, based on whatever tape you've watched of these guys that you have in your mind? And is it possible that if they do something like throw the football or just talk with you, that they're going to influence some of what you already know about them from tape?
Yeah, I think coaches will all tell you that the way you determine whether a guy can play or not is by watching them actually compete in the games. And so that's why we put so much value in the tape work. And that's where all the time comes. And then to watch a guy on tape and then meet him in person, it can confirm or deny maybe what you've seen. And I think that's an important thing.
I know you want to watch all the players at all positions or at least get some glimpse of them. And I've stressed quarterbacks here, but is it with the offensive players and your particular area of expertise and this team's particular area of need that you're going to focus more on those guys who throw it, those guys who catch it, those guys who run with it, those guys who block? Are you going to be naturally gravitating to that more than anything else?
Yeah, I think I'm more aware of what the players should look like at those positions, but of course as a head coach, your view is a little bit broader, so I watch all the players. And I really do think we can address needs at all positions on our team, whether it be find a guy that's going to start for us or a guy that's going to compete to become a starter or a guy that's going to come in and fill a need as a role player. So it's very, very important that we do a good job with the combine and getting all of the information we can. I mean, you look at last year's draft class, and I think, including the free agents, all of our rookies were competing in our last game against Pittsburgh, and a lot of them had played numerous snaps throughout the year. So that's really going to help them as we move forward next year. Plus, the players that we're, I'm referring to are good players. And so good players that have had a chance to get reps and have an offseason to improve. I'm looking for good things from them, and we got to add another draft class to that.
And you won't ignore the defensive side in doing this. Obviously, you'll look at that area, but also that's an area that has internally at least a contractual question mark of DeQuell Jackson, what his future is going to be. I'd like you to comment on that, and also just your general thoughts about free agency and the types of spots you would like to see this team or you think this team could address in the open market. But first, DeQuell.
Yeah, DeQuell, you know, I've been on record talking about what he's meant to the team, and, you know, we want to do what we can to get him back, you know, and I think that's the case with a lot of the other guys we've already mentioned.
Yeah. So, and Phil Dawson. And
yeah, I mean, there's a group of guys there. You know, guys that you know and you think are good players, you want to try to keep them. And I think that's the idea of the offseason here, is to try to keep the guys that you have. And if you got to re-sign them, you do what you can to do it. And then, you know, you add to your roster new players, and then you obviously get it from either free agency or the draft. And so, you know, we're going to try to do that.
You and Mike Holmgren, Tom Heckert, you've been very resolute in this whole notion that the way you build a team, first of all, you're determined to build this team into a winner, and that's the philosophy here and the mission here, and sticking and doing so heavily through the draft, and you believe in that. But if you could sort of give the message to the believers, to the investors, I'm talking about the ticket holders, the fans who are with this thing right to the bitter end. What is it that, you know, you can tell them in terms of how this team is approaching the task of trying to get dramatically better from 4-12?
Well, I think two things. The players that were here a year ago that will continue to be here. You know, I talked to the players about everybody's got to make incremental jumps in performance. And I think we were so close in some ways. So it's important for the guys that are here to develop. And then we've got to do, and we've got to pick the right players to add to that group that are going to make us better. And I feel confident that we're going to do that because I saw it happen a year ago. You know, again, this is my – just going into my second year here with the guys that we picked and played. And so, you know, I'm confident that the team's going to improve, and I'm confident that it's easy – you know, to look back on it and say, well, you know, the win total, we got to win more games, we got to score more points, and we're aware of that. And now, having watched our players work, we can quantify the areas that we need to get better, work on the specific skills, and get better. And I think that's going to happen. And I think, you know, when you add what the players did last year with the improvement that we can make here in the offseason by adding new players and getting better, I'm very confident that we'll make a jump.
How much different do you feel as a head coach today, now, going into this combine, than you did a year ago when you were getting ready to head to Indianapolis as a guy who had not coached a game as a head coach in the NFL?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ever comfortable with anything. But I will say that, you know, I spent so much time last year putting the staff together. That's a big task for anybody that's taking over a team. And then I felt like when I went to the combine, I had a lot of catching up to do with the players. I think this year I'm more ready to go down there and evaluate them because I've had more of an opportunity to watch the contestants, so to speak. So I feel better about that. I feel good about the staff that we have in place. And I feel good that we've had a chance to go back and look at what we did last year, and then we're starting to decide what we're going to do the same and what we're going to change.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to join us. Covered a lot of ground here, and look forward to getting together with you again in Indianapolis.
All right. Travel safe.
All right, you too. He is Pat Shermer, the head coach of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.